The Flap is an unrivaled talk show featuring in-depth conversations on technology, life, love, comics, and fatherhood, hosted by founding members of Paper Keg, Dale _A, and Slim. So how long has it been since we did the last show? Has it been a half a year or a year and a half?
Half a year.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so the average is getting better.
The average is getting better. I thought it feels like a year and a half.
The last time we recorded, I think we were talking about preparation for the PK 5K. I think that might have been your first guarantee that you would do it.
Well, I mean, if we're sticking to our resolutions and keeping up with the flap more than once a year, then yes, this is the show post PK 5K.
Has your body officially recovered yet from what transpired those past few weeks?
Yeah, my body is, I guess, back to normal if I really like contort myself into a position where I can make it uncomfortable. I can still feel the fetal. Yeah, if I use my double jointed knees in ways that would make a grown man puke, I can get my hip to hurt. You know, I did a pretty couple hardcore kayaking sessions the week before PK 5K, and then I decided to run and train the one time for my PK 5K.
Intense training
at 2 miles, and I definitely pulled something. And then after the PK 5K, it was hurting. It wasn't hurting as bad as the original injury pre PK 5K, so that's good.
One of the other notes from the last time we spoke a half year ago was the end of ellipticaling. I don't remember what that meant. Did you, like, was this a discussion about how hard it was to get back into the ellipticaling game? I think
yes. Yeah, probably was, because it's rotten hard. It is rotten hard. Since then, since the, 200 days ago, seems like longer, I've been off and on that sucker for, we're actually in a peak right now. We were in a valley. The month of May and June, I rocked it out on the elliptical big time. I had, on the Apple activity calendar, if you fill in all the circles for the day, all three circles, it just looks good. So I had a pretty good unbroken streak of three circles per day, and then I stopped again. I've valleyed. We're in a peak right now on day three of ellipticaling again. I just feel like a big old disgusting F-head. So I'm ellipticaling again. I just can't, like, here's the harsh reality of it. 35 years old, almost 36, less than a month away at this point. Father of two, crow's feet, gray hair.
Look great.
I just can't stay up past 9:30 and expect to get up even at 5:30 to do the elliptical.
Wow.
I can't do it. My body will not do it. And it hurts me to say, like, this is what fathers and mothers and stepfathers and stepmothers, like, you see them when you have all your summer off when you're in school and you see them force themselves to go to bed. This is why. This is why. I mean, I remember my mom had me when she was 17. So I remember my mom at 30 and 35. And she was just doing the responsible thing because she probably couldn't get up in the morning otherwise. Not like the days of old when you could go home drunk at 3 a.m. and still get up for work at 6.
Oh, yeah. Show up to work hammered.
Yeah,
making hammered. Sure those videotapes were rewound for your customers. Those adult videos.
Yeah, if you sent them out unrewound.
We also
they can't get them there. They can't get them home and back in time.
No, they're going to ask for a credit for busting Ann and Grandma's B. It wasn't rewound. Ruined the whole experience. We used to prepackage, not prepackage. We used to repackage adult movies for sale, like used up VHSs. You know, when they ran their course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We would like use the I don't know what you call that, like a cellophane wrap machine.
Mm-hmm.
They would like, oh, yeah. It was a hot machine that would almost, you know, give the plastic packaging back on it. You had to blow dry it when it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would put those in the sale rack in the adult room.
Now, I remember, you know, we worked for the same video chain for a time. So somebody somewhere was making the decisions on what videos to pull, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think it came from store management. It came from upper.
Really?
I mean, it probably like came through in the daily printout. Like, these are the videos to pull to put up for sale.
They had their reports printed out. They're like, yeah, have the reading glasses on, and they're like running their finger down the sheet to see which one, and they're tapping it. I think, I'm not sure if we have the same owners, because our location actually had the bosses in the back with offices.
Oh, wow. That's pretty legit.
I think it was two dudes that ran the whole show, and they had their own office. They had, you know, the pictures, the posters in their wall, the movie posters. I wonder what they're into now.
So you know, maybe they just had it memorized. Like, yeah, this one's run its course.
Yeah, volume 313. It's time to sell that one.
Right.
For cash.
Yeah. Willy Wanger and the Fudge Packing Factory out. It's time to put
that
sucker up
for cash. He
might have
bought
that
one for himself, or rather just took that one home. They didn't need to buy it.
Oh, speaking of old movie stores, my job, I recently drove past, you know, the Hollywood Video, the old Hollywood videos.
Yeah.
Well, there must have been a building that was left defunct after Hollywood Video closed, and the sign was still out front, the huge Hollywood sign with the volcano. And somebody recently reopened the store and just took the video part down and put up the word Smokes. So it's Hollywood Smokes. And it's like a vape shop.
That sounds like illegal. That sounds like copyright infringement. Or maybe the copyright to Hollywood Videos has lapsed and no one's going to sue them now.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Or maybe the volcano was never there. Maybe they added the volcano behind the word Hollywood.
There's vape stores everywhere now. There's like three on the streets outside of our house.
It's absolutely crazy because if I wanted to, I could probably open a vape shop on this pub table I'm sitting at because they're just little squirt bottles of vape. What do you need storefront?
You mean they don't sell like the customized vape guns or vape sabers, whatever they're called? You know, the fancy ones?
They probably do because, I mean, the way I see vapers is they get into their hobby,
scum,
right? So they're probably like building their own lightsaber, like you're going to Walt Disney World and you're coming off Star Wars.
They have
building
the crystals, the crystal inside the vape saber that will only allow the saber to work.
Yeah. So at this point, I think, like, I view, if I'm going to get into vaping and I'm going to get my hardcore vape machine sucked up to my lips, like, I'm going to do the research, and I'm going to buy all the parts I need online to make the best. Because you know you're not going to be able to get the best parts in a brick-and-mortar store anymore. I'm sorry. You just can't do it.
Don't apologize.
So I don't see how these vape shops can compete. And maybe they can. Maybe we have some vapers that listen who...
We have to have some vapes. Some vape friends.
Absolutely. As many listeners as we have, especially.
There's got to be, I'm going to throw a number out there, 15%.
Oh my God.
Of listeners vape.
As long as they quit smoking in the process. I mean, that's the big thing.
Sure. Family, you know, first.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
If anybody works at Hollywood Vapes, get at me and tell me that story.
Well, speaking of family first, we have a vacation coming up. With no family.
That's right. Family second.
First time. I won't say this is the first time we've ever had like a break. We went to Baltimore Comic Con with me, you, and Jonesy, who is a host on the Paper Keg podcast. Jonesy Loves Beer, writer. But this time, I think this is going to be our longest one. 4 days up by a lake. And that's it. We might not even have internet.
We might not. It could be anything up there. We
might not even have electricity.
You know what? God willing, we don't have electricity. We're going up to the Adirondack State Park, which is pretty big. It's the largest state. It's the largest national park in the United States, I believe. The contiguous, maybe.
Really?
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the trip. I mean, how family long? Second.
Yeah. When was the last time you've had that long separation from your family and the two kids? I mean, what are you going to do with yourself?
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to kayak. We're going to find some outdoor activities. We're going to bond, maybe cook some food on a grill.
Mm. Jonesy said he's going to make his own coffee or something. I don't know. We might die by tasting it, but
he's probably going to make the coffee and we're going to drink it, and it's going to, like, we're going to filter the grounds through our teeth and just like spit the grounds back out onto the ground. That's camping coffee, I believe.
We're probably going to taste it and then like throw up instantly. like in some kind of comedy where we taste something so vile we spit it out, maybe on Jonesy's face accidentally, just because of where he's positioned, and he won't move.
The way I would picture me doing it is like more of a Chevy Chase kind of thing, where he kind of chokes on it and gets it down and lies to Jonesy and says it's good. It's good enough.
Man, Chevy Chase.
Physical comedian extraordinaire.
Absolutely. Did you ever watch his talk show that's on YouTube?
No. Yeah. Now, is it old or is it new?
No. I think at the height of his celebrity, he had a talk show, like a Carson, where he tried to do one. And I can't remember if this was post-cocaine or in the thick of it cocaine, but it's one of, like, everyone jokes about how it was, like, it lasted, like, I don't know, a couple weeks and was canceled, like, instantly, and about how bad it was. But in my head, I was like, there's no way it can be that bad. It's a talk show. How bad can it be?
Right.
But it's that bad.
Really?
Yeah. If you look up, I don't know if it was called Chevy or the Chevy Chase Show, it's super bad. Almost unwatchable. Also, I think Alan Thicke also had his own talk show.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
He had like Stan Lee on it. I think I tweeted that out ages ago.
Yeah, yeah. Alan Thicke was such a big part of my childhood. Not to stray too far away from our Q316 chatter.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in everything, you know, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah. It's going to take like 6 hours, I think, to get to our lake house.
Yeah, it's way further than Baltimore. And I'm worried about that cutting into our time together, our time enjoying the outdoors.
Well, I mean, if we leave, Jonesy and I would probably be in the same vehicle. Maybe if we leave, we could time it so that we leave 3 a.m., 4 a.m., get there, you know. We have to figure out if we're going to be allowed on the lake house grounds.
It's true.
You know, otherwise we'll just be eating at some flop house.
We could eat at some flop house and eat some local cuisine, and then we could find ourselves there's probably tons of mountain paths. We could park the vehicles.
Make out point.
We could park at make out point, get out of the car, find some peak to take some Instagram pictures from the peak of a mountain to start the adventure. And then we will we'll all come together. Like, we'll be sitting there in the Adirondack chairs outside, and then we'll see Karate Chop like walking up with his duffel bag. Like, his coming
Rambo,
around.
His Rambo First Blood duffel bag.
Coming around the side of the house, and then we like slow-mo, no noise, and we all look up and we point to him. Like you may not relate to this part, but when his name? Frodo wakes up from the bed and everybody comes in to see him. Samwise, they all run in towards the bed and jump on the bed, hug him.
I mean, you could say when Harry Potter woke up after he passed out after winning the Quidditch Cup, and Hermione and Ron were there.
Mm-hmm.
That works. That's the same thing.
That too, yeah. You just doubled or tripled our reaching audience with
our
that.
Our podcast nerd reach just by an order of magnitude, as they say.
Yeah, the last time I think I was away from my family, I took a work trip to Charleston, South Carolina. Maybe it was for 4 days. Maybe. Hmm. But maybe not. 4 days is a long time.
It is.
I'm going to miss those guys, and I know as soon as I get back, my wife is going to throw those kids right at me.
We don't even know if there's going to be like places to eat where we're at. I used Grubhub just to see if there was Grubhub delivery near
did
there.
Did you really?
I did. Obviously, there's none.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I know there's within a half hour to 45 minutes, there might be, I think maybe 20 minutes away, there's like a town center with a bar/restaurant.
Uh-huh.
So we could be there every day, twice a day. For all, like, it depends. I know now that the pain of the payment group text is out of the way, mm-hmm. we can start talking about planning, like if there's going to be meals. Ideally, there'll be meals at the house, but reality, just us five guys.
Yeah.
So who knows what will really get accomplished?
Nothing, probably. I'm going to pack some pizza goldfish.
Right. Yes.
Protein bars. And some Gatorade, mm-hmm. just in the event of disaster.
Just in the event that the restaurant bar/ closes at 5 o'clock and we're screwed for the night.
So that's actually less than a month away. I think that's 24 days away, something like that.
We're staying at a house much bigger than what will accommodate that needs to accommodate us. It's going to be amazing, right on a lake.
Does it have a hot tub?
I don't think it has a hot tub.
We got the lake, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It was. Does it have a hot tub?
I don't know.
I think we were so blinded by the pictures and the lake view that maybe it doesn't have a hot tub.
It might not even be on a lake, for all we know. Could be in the brush.
Yeah, it could be. There's just like if somebody just throws in the description a picture of a lake, we automatically assume it's on a lake, and that's mm-hmm. just bad for us. It's so hard researching a new area to take a trip to. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
There's just so many variables.
I mean, I didn't do any legwork. I'm going to throw that out there right now. Mm. Not to make anyone think that I did any kind of hard work on this.
I used to relish hitting TripAdvisor. I used to be my thing. I used to love it. Now it's like whatever I could get done at work so I wouldn't have to touch it when I got home at night.
Well, now you're going to bed at 9 o'clock. You don't have time for TripAdvisor nights.
I don't have time for video games, comic books.
When was the last time you played a video game?
Maybe 2 weeks ago before Paper Keg, I had 10 minutes to play some Fallout 4. You know? Mm. Maybe.
We haven't played Rocket League in a long time.
It's been a very long
time. Who would have thought that Rocket League would have taken a back seat ever? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to pull it back a little bit, Jonesy asked us last night, but it was, I mean, Jonesy, it was 9:50 last night, and he wanted us to go turn on our Xboxes at mm-hmm. that point.
I don't know what Jonesy's sleep schedule is like over there, but I'm gonna go on a limb and say it's not good.
It's not good.
I don't know what the Jawbone app is saying for his sleep averages. Could be 4 hours, could be 5 hours.
But Jonesy, if you're listening, Matt says it's not good, but I say do it while you can. Do it, my man. Take advantage of your youth.
Jonesy is not young. He's our age. He doesn't have the youthful exuberance that a person 10 years younger would have.
Listen, we all want the best for everyone.
Get that 7.5 hours sleep.
At least 8 to 10 for Dale and So that's coming up. Excited about that. That's mm-hmm. going to be great. I'm taking my boat with me. There's some mm-hmm. boats there on the property. We're just going to make, we got some insider people from the area who know the area that we might be meeting up with possibly. Oh. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I will, by then, yes, I will be driving my VW into a national state park, and it'll probably be killing every beautiful natural tree on the way there.
I'm surprised they even allow those vehicles through. There should be armed guards.
Yeah, stationed. There should be. Just for not checking passports, checking registrations, and the make and model of your car.
I would be blowing out the tires of that vehicle if I even caught a glimpse of a VW near me and I had a firearm.
I'm driving into the state park at 15 miles an hour, and a ranger like rolls out the spiky strips right in front of me. No! So that's what I've been going through the past 2 weeks or so. I've gotten the hard evidence, the hard concrete details of what's going on with my car.
And your VW vehicle that has been polluting Mother Earth since my diesel, owned it.
My VW diesel. Those criminals. So they are, what they're doing for everybody is they're either going to buy back your car, just buy it back, or they're going to fix it and compensate you extra money. And I'm currently struggling. Right now I'm thinking, because of my loan situation, I'm upside down on my loan because I'm awful and I don't, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck, so I don't save money for a car down payment. And I drive so many miles a year that I just drive the value of a vehicle down even further. So my scenario is VW will pay off my loan, buy back my car. That's it. Amazing. I don't see any money, but it is amazing. And then we just call it splits from there. I don't have to work with these criminals anymore. Like, I'm so, I don't know, I'm just so, there's a bad taste in my mouth now, and they were my favorite, you know what I mean?
I mean, they're not just criminals, they're like war criminals. Like, these people should be in prison, everyone at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in jail for the rest of their days, if I had my way.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I mean, especially now there's people, I guess the latest findings is there's definite criminal mischief, like they knew. I don't know what the story is, but whatever. It's criminal. They knew they were being underhanded. So
let's say
my scarlet letter.
The scum, the criminals come and pick up your car, or you drop it off at some kind of VW criminal enterprise.
Right. Yeah.
So then you got to figure out how to get home. But so what car would you get? Because, I mean, you could, I don't know what you were paying monthly for the VW, but you could get like an $8,000 car on a loan and then be paying like $150 a month.
I know. That's what I've been thinking about nonstop. I don't think about work. I don't think about my kids. I don't think about how every night at bedtime, Grayson decides he has to go to poop instead of put his pajamas on and go to bed. I think I've been thinking about this, and it's a conundrum, because this is a blessing. VW paying off my loan that I'm upside down is a blessing, and I still owe a lot on a loan on the loan.
You're upside down on the loan.
Upside down in the loan. So, do I get, like, I see people buy and drive under, like, $10,000 cars every day.
That's what we did when we got that
Mazda 5?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I'm so paranoid because my commute is so long. I put like 30,000 miles a year on a car. I drive a lot every day. And I am so scared that if I buy a car with miles on it, that for some reason it's going to betray me and it's going to die while I still have years left to pay on the loan. That's my conundrum now. Mm. What ideally, Matt, ideally, some sort of raggedy old Jeep.
Oh, God.
Jeep Unlimited would be better in my situation, but, you know, can I put 30,000 miles onto a car that if I buy possibly has 50,000 or more miles on it already?
Mm.
50 to 80 to 90,000 miles. Do I buy a car that much and still put 30,000 miles a year on it?
Mm.
So, That's like, or that's what I would want. And if I have a much lower car payment, I can afford, you know, the gas that comes with a Jeep. But, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I also would love to get some kind of raggedy Jeep, but I don't have that kind of commute.
Mm-hmm. It really puts a stinger in my plans, because I should get something a little more fuel friendly.
Should.
Like, I'm not going to beat the diesel's gas mileage.
What about like a Toyota Yaris?
Ugh, God. Just cut my front piece off while you're at it and call me Ken the Ken doll. Ken the Ken doll.
What about a Honda Fit? That gets pretty good gas mileage, too. I think it's like 40 miles a gallon.
No way.
Yeah.
Honda Fit?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm going to look it up right now on the internet machine. Honda Fit MPG.
What about a...
41 highway.
A Honda Fit?
41 highway.
Wow.
Put that in your Honda craw.
Fit. Why don't you put cut that in my craw when you cut it off and my front piece along with it and tell me I drive a Honda Fit?
Didn't you have a smaller car before the last Jeep you had? What was it?
The last Jeep I had,
what was before the Jeep?
It was a smaller Jeep. Here's my lineage. You want to run down the lineage?
You've had a lot of cars, yeah.
Yeah. I had, my first car was an 89 Dodge Shadow, white, limited edition, had the fluorescent rainbow color writing on the back that said Shadow.
Got all the babes.
I forget how long I drove that thing, but the day I got my oil changed, I was driving to see my girlfriend, and I seized the engine because whoever changed my oil, I guess it was so clogged. I don't know what happened.
Wow.
Whatever. I got a rebuilt engine in that sucker. Had to pay my mom off.
Mm.
What was after that? My Pontiac Grand Am.
Wow.
It was like a 90-something, 94, 95 Grand Am. Then 2001 GTI, the beginning of my love affair.
Oh, maybe that was, yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking of, a smaller Volkswagen.
Yeah. And then I had my 05 Wrangler. Then I had my 2010 Wrangler. Then I had my 2014 Golf, was smaller than what I have now.
Mm.
And then I had the 15 Golf Wagon. Sweet, sweet wagon.
I think you need to start doing some research on those miles per gallon. Yeah?
Yeah, whatever. Nothing's going to make me happy.
You're just going to be stressed out about any car that you get for the rest of your life.
I am. I saw that MKBHG just ordered his Model
Good
S.
Lord.
Tesla.
Get at it. I retweeted something. I can't remember what the exact phrasing was, but they said the greatest trick Elon Musk ever pulled was to make it not douchey, or to make it seem like it's not douchey to tweet about buying a $100,000 car. Like, get out of my face. Actually, I love the Tesla. I want to get, you know, whenever they announce that $36,000 one, whenever that officially comes out, I wouldn't mind putting my name in the hat for that.
Right.
But there's a certain level of douche aligned with that, but also the home stuff, like Apple HomeKit and Nest and video cameras. Like, a lot of people tweet about that, but that's just, I feel like you're, and you know, maybe it's not a bad thing, but it's just how I view it, but like, you're letting the world know how much you make. Like, I have a security camera in my front door. I can control everything in the house with my phone. Why don't you just wave cash in front of everyone's face, like as you deposit your weekly checks? It just gives a weird vibe when I see stuff like that.
No, I agree. And then you know, to a lesser extent, most people don't think about it, but all these things are wirelessly hooked up, which means, you know, anybody who had an agenda could just like roll up to your driveway and just start like hammering away at these devices.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not everything, like, for you and me.
Yeah.
For you and me, it doesn't mean anything, but somebody had an agenda and somebody was trying to get to your Instagram account. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all, maybe it just all shouldn't be connected. I don't know. Until it's, like, super secure.
There's people tweeting about how, like, their Nest goes offline and then the whole house is all screwed up or, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that.
I'm not ready for it either. I'm ready for a 2016 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited.
Oh my God. We go camping on that. We open up the back of the Jeep, attach the tent, canopy.
We just I'm buying it online right now.
Sit under the moonlight, do some s'mores, start a fire.
Do you follow? Are you following that guy who's driving his? I doubt you are, because maybe I only know about him. But there's this guy who just kitted up his Wrangler to drive around Africa for like 2 years.
No, what's his Instagram name?
Is it at Dan Grec? DanGrec.
Dan Grec, DanGrec. That's it. I don't see him. Tell you what, it sounds like it might be a scam.
Maybe somebody's in your Nest and
someone's spoofing my Instagram search.
I'm utilizing the Google Hangouts messages.
Look out, Dan. Oh, Twitter. I thought you said Instagram.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What about today was National Parks Day? This has got to be like your Christmas.
100 years the National Park Service has been in operation now. I went to REI a couple weeks ago and bought a t-shirt commemorating the 100 years. It's too tight right now, but with these, you know, since I'm peeking on the elliptical, I'll be squeezing into it soon enough.
Oh, yeah. I like the top of this Jeep. It's like one of those kind of Winnebago lift tops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Dynamite. So it depends. Some of these Unlimiteds, they look a little too long. I don't know if that's just the size of the wheels. Like his kind of looks a little too long for me.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the relation to the front wheels in relation to the windshield, like the distance. Mm-hmm. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, but it's nice. 3 years, Jesus. You're here first.
Heard her first at Dan Grec. Tell me that paper keg sent you.
Breaking news in partnership with Dan Grec.
Make sure you use hashtag the flap so he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then when he clicks on the flap, there's only one other tweet that was like a year ago. So when are you and Jonesy of Paper Keg fame do a Book Jug podcast?
That's right.
Where you talk about audiobooks. When's that coming back?
This is the portion of the flap where Matt throws me under the bus. I just, if you want a little preview for, thanks for listening to The Flap. If you also listen to The Book Jub, you'll be happy to know that next book lined up sometime this winter, the first Jack Reacher novel.
Oh, wow.
Just started listening to that on Monday, and then the weather has been so nice the past 3 days that I've had the windows down and not the book playing, so we'll get back to that. But I think tomorrow it's supposed to be hot, so start listening to that book again.
I think it's pretty fascinating about how we've been doing Paper Keg for so long and we had these other shows that we did, but now we like don't have the time. But I think time's a big portion, but like I think desire has creeped in. Like we have fun doing the Tom Cruise podcast. We don't have time, but like you have to have the desire to make time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, we almost didn't do this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We are waiting, we're waiting for Jonesy to get done his evening so we can record Paper Keg. And you just, I happened to be done earlier than usual because nobody was home and I put the kids to bed. So you're like, we could flap. And I'm like, we could. Let me finish the dishes. Like, we know, before we even put the podcast in the feed, like, open up a new feed in iTunes and say, this is going to be a new thing, in Simplecast, like we create the feed, like we know we're going to hit that, but the excitement to do it is so great mm-hmm. that we stupid do it anyway. And then we get 10 episodes into a Tom Cruise podcast. Maybe we're 10 episodes in. We might not even be 10 in.
I don't know either.
But yeah, it's just like, it's like that scene in Old School when Frank the Tank has been shot with the dart, multiple darts, and he's got to like pick himself up off the gift table. And he's like, lifts his head up and he's like screaming, but he can barely do it. That's what it feels like when you have to record a podcast that, like, Paper Keg is our legs, that are our steam. Like, we know we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get up and we do it. So, because we make time for Paper Keg, we kind of really don't want to make time for anything else because we already made time for Paper Keg.
And
any other time that it's not Paper Keg, it's like our time and we're probably in bed. Or we used to be playing Rocket League or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now you're sleeping and then I'm reading. Because I think my reading has essentially replaced any Rocket League time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we've been doing it. I wonder what other, like, Dan Benjamin or, like, they're famous. So they're more, I wonder if they're more incentivized to do the show because they have such a massive following and they make, you know, probably large amounts of money from it. But for us, it was never really about that. And it was more of just us having fun doing stuff. And we've been doing it for so many years. I wonder what other people, like, if there's other people like us, like, I wonder what their drive is like, you know, and how many shows they did, or if they scaled back, or, like, honestly, I could easily just retire the other shows mm-hmm. without a hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yeah.
Honestly, I could probably scale back Paper Keg a little bit. I could do...
Well, there's not really much to scale back in Paper Keg, I think.
Maybe, like, twice a month.
That way.
I know, you just pooped yourself. Probably other people just pooped themselves, too, coming. But...
This is a preview episode of what's the future of the... the future.
I mean, but I understand... I think Jonesy. Well, I won't speak for Jonesy since he's not here. But I think you get to us. I mean, we've done so many episodes. We're all busy. Like, I wonder mm-hmm. what we'll be saying 6 months from now about Paper Keg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because it's. I don't know. Our kids are getting older, but with that comes different. When our kids were younger, we would say, well, they're not going to be babies forever and we won't be changing their diapers and we won't be up half the night with them. But then when they get older, they just have different responsibilities. You know, maybe they'll get into sports.
Yeah.
And they'll be at sports 3 or 4 nights a week.
It's just going to get worse.
Like, yeah, maybe they'll be in a debate club. I don't know. I mean,
you're going to have to drive them to soccer games on the weekends.
And the sick reality of it is, you're in it. You are in it just as much as they are, just because you have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, where does that leave? I mean, I don't, you know, there's oodles of podcasts out there. Where does that leave the other podcasters who've been doing it as long as we have? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, day by day, that number gets shorter and shorter. People just stop doing it, probably because the same reasons we have, we just... stupid enough to keep going. You know, like, I have the paper keg drives me, certainly, and I definitely make sacrifices for it, but I don't make sacrifices for Tom Cruise anymore. I don't make sacrifices for Book Jug, or
right.
We don't make sacrifices for the flap anymore.
Yeah, that was a good way to put it. Because, like, even if we had, like, planned, we used to, like, try to plan flap recordings. And it would just never work out, or, you know, it didn't, like you said, it's true. Like, you don't want to make the sacrifices for that. Like, we can skip a week for this. And then a week becomes a month, and a week and a month becomes a year.
Yeah. Because you're like, well, if I do it tonight, I've got to do Paper Keg tomorrow night. I've got to do Paper Keg the next night, and I got to read for that. So let's just, like, let me lay in bed with my wife and, you know, watch wrestling or go to sleep.
Yeah, have you, did I see you mention that you renewed your WWE Network subscription?
I did, yeah. I'm slowly dipping my toe back into it. I can drill you for some things tonight. Started watching SummerSlam late the night of SummerSlam.
It was like an eight-hour show.
I mean, when I clicked play from beginning because it was going live, it still jumped like an hour and 15 minutes before the actual show started. And I only got into maybe three matches, and then I just fell asleep. And I think my wife was already asleep, so luckily nothing woke her up. But I woke up, and it was like back to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even get through the John Cena match.
Mm, that was an amazing match.
I want to know. Well, okay, I got to go back and watch that match.
Mm-hmm.
I like AJ Styles. He seems like a really cool guy, cool wrestler.
Yeah.
But he's not a bad guy, right? He's just...
They made him into a bad guy, but he came over to WWE with a lot of fanfare because he was in another promotion that's like WWE's competitor, so they never name it, which was TNA. And he was there
Was he from TNA?
Yeah, he was there forever. And then he left TNA to go to Japan, and he like reinvented his career in Japan.
Mm.
And he had these amazing matches, and then WWE signed him, and then he came over as like a face, you know, the good guy, so everyone loved him. But for whatever reason, they turned him into a bad guy. But there's a side story to where, like in Japan, there's this thing called the Bullet Club, which is like a modern day NWO. So they formed and became this thing of what do they call white guys in Japan? Is it Gaijin? Is that what it is? Oh, I can't remember.
Kaijin, yeah.
Where
or otakus?
They were like all the white guys in Japan. Oh. And they formed a club called the Bullet Club. So they were in the club. So then when AJ came over, WWE also signed these other two dudes that were in Bullet Club, but they were bad guys when they came over.
Are they the two doctors that were in the...
Yeah, they're not doctors. Like they did a skit where they were doctors. It was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb.
But
and it was on a $60 pay-per-view event. That,
I mean, whatever. I didn't understand why they did that. So those two were in Bullet Club. So then everyone was wondering if they're going to team up now that they're in the same promotion. But they couldn't call them Bullet Club because I think the Japanese thing owns Bullet Club. So they called them the Club.
Oh, God.
Which isn't any cooler at all. So then they eventually teamed up. They teased it pretty well. Like they were wondering, like, is AJ Styles going to join with his buddies who are bad guys? So you're like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. So eventually they did, and they turned AJ Styles into a bad guy, but people still like him.
Yeah. I mean, I still like him, but like, I don't know much of the backstory. I just know what the flashback showed me in SummerSlam, but like AJ Styles is calling out John Cena for doing Make-A-Wish. Like, I didn't understand like what his argument was.
He was calling him out, I think, for leaving, like if becoming a celebrity,
doing movies,
and leaving the business, whereas he has been in the business forever and he's always been about wrestling and he was never going to leave. And he was calling out Cena for that stuff. Like, he's not going to be a wrestler anymore. You're going to leave and become a big shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So he wanted... Okay, so AJ just wanted him to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't spoil the match. I still have to finish the match.
It's a great match. Fantastic match.
But
he's an amazing wrestler.
He is. He's really athletic. He's really good.
He's got amazing hair.
Got nice hair.
God, it's voluptuous.
Yeah, it is.
Did you start watching the CWC yet?
Yeah, I watched the first half of the first episode of that. I mean, I'm already feel overwhelmed because it's hours long and there's like six of them out already.
That's like my favorite thing that they've done in decades.
Okay. That's good.
They, like, none of those guys are like WWE employees, all those wrestlers. They're all like from the independent scene. And well, actually, I think there's like maybe one or two that are now signed, I love how the graphics are different, how they're promoting these matches is so different.
Mm-hmm.
There's no storylines. It's just like their careers are the storylines, which is such a strange departure from as of late.
I felt that, like, who, the only way, and we had a little bit of a conversation about that when we went to go see local wrestling, but like one guy establishes himself as being the good guy because he'll like high five as he's coming down the ring, and then the other guy is just the bad guy because he's like brooding. Like, so it, that's the only way it kind of sets up like who you're going to wrestle, who you're going to root for if you didn't know them in any other capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird, cool dynamic that they're having, like this bracketed thing, but in a way, like, it's still scripted, but it's still entertaining. You know what I mean? Like, that they have all these people you've never heard of coming in because it's like fresh and you get to see other people wrestle.
It is. It's super, super fresh. I mean, compared to just anything they've done the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was watching yesterday's episode while I was working, and they had a guy from Philadelphia wrestling against like a favorite, like people like this one guy. So I was like, I wonder what they're going to do. And then they did one minor thing to try to make one of them like a bad guy. They added this new thing where they shake hands before the match. So the one guy, fan favorite, put his hand out, and the other guy like didn't do anything, and he put his hand out, but he slapped his hand away. And I was like, okay, I guess that guy's the bad guy for this match. That's it. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And it worked so well. It was just such a minor thing, and it worked.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. Like that's definitely what I would be watching if I wasn't going to bed at 9:15 every night. You know, so,
although to be fair, I think I've been doing the same thing. Like, I don't Rocket League anymore. I don't really watch a whole lot of... We don't watch really any TV.
Mm-mm.
Unless it's Hotel Hell with Gordon Ramsay on Hulu, which is one of the best shows of all time. And then I'll just read, and then I'll be up at 5:30 or 6. Start my day.
It's a different world, you know? Monique and I don't watch any TV anymore. That's been for a long time, but I mean, the WWE app on the Fire TV is pretty good.
Mm.
It's pretty legit. I mean, the font is a little wanting on my small bedroom TV, but
did you ever get a kid's YouTube on that Amazon tablet?
Mm-mm. No, it's awful.
Even if they updated the OS, didn't they like give a new OS to that? It's like more Android-y. You still can't get the Play Store on it. Officially,
you can't. You can find the what is the IDK file?
APK.
APK. You can find the APK file of the Play Store. You can find, but as soon as you do that, it says, you know, the Google services
won't work.
Google services needs to be installed, which I remember from having the Nexus. It's like Google services would get updated, whatever. So I found the Google services APK. But as soon as you try to install Google services, it says it doesn't match the version of Android that's on the operating system.
Mm.
And so I tried to line up the two, but it's just too much. It's too hectic for me to deal with this $100 crap kid's Fire tablet that is so infuriating that you've reached the portion of the show where we get into Dale spewing toxic about the kid's Fire tablet. But...
Mm.
Space management on the thing is horrendous.
There's no like SD card slot?
There is an SD card slot, but barely anything gets installed to it.
Hmm.
And you can't choose to install most apps. So when a kid logs into it, not you or me, Grayson logs into it and he has like the kid carousel where it just presents him with a barf, like it's a throw up of everything available kids on Amazon, right? He taps on it. Nothing is installed. So as soon as you tap on it, it has to download the app, install the app. It all does it behind the scenes. You can just see a little status bar at the bottom of the icon. So, and then he's frustrated because nothing's happening. So he'll tap on 15 more of these icons. And nothing will happen until... And a half hour later when something is finally downloaded, installed, because he queued up 15 things to download at once. And then, like, the app itself, you can't just say, oh, install everything to the SD card. It doesn't work like that. It just installs it to you know, the program files folder. I'm going to say it's not that, but it's going to install everything there, and then you can go in later and maybe say move to SD card, but that's one in every 20 apps you can do. And you're still dealing with an 8 gig device outside of the SD card. Like, so just the device itself, the OS takes up 4 gigs of that, and then on top of that, the kids' tablets look the same. So Grayson and Reed have their tablets, but if they swap, I mean, because they look the same, they can log into each other's and their stuff is there, but each profile on that thing on the device will have its own space carved out. So if I needed the free space and I'm logged in as Reed, I need to go log in as Grayson and look at the OS and see what I can free up program wise because I can't look at everything all at once, not even from me, the admin user. I have to log in as each user and free up space where I can. It's an absolute nightmare.
Sounds like a nightmare in the Dale household.
Yeah. I haven't looked on their Fire tablet yet, but the Fire TV, they found like this YouTube-esque feature with the Prime videos where they're like 3 to 5 minute videos of like people playing with toys.
I found those too.
And instead of like auto continuing, you know, you watch one, you can pick another one, which is kind of cool. Like, they just found that the other day. But
yeah, I wonder why those videos were on Amazon Video, because I searched something on Amazon Video for James on the Xbox, and then like I searched Ghostbusters. So then we had like Ghostbusters unboxing videos, and I was like, what are these doing on Amazon Video? How does that work?
Yeah, it made me wonder, like, did Amazon just pay a bunch of money for, like, I don't know how that works. Do people submit it?
I don't know, unless maybe they're, like, review videos. Like, people bought that product on Amazon, and then they uploaded a video, and then somehow the search found those. I don't know.
My thought was it's just their way to kind of stay in the game.
For YouTube Kids?
Yeah. At least for the Fire TV.
It's weird, because I Googled, I think maybe during like Prime Day, I looked up, because they were so cheap, the tablets. And I tried to see like Googled Play Store on Fire tablet, because the OS is more close to like 6.0 now. Like, it has the home button on the bottom and the back button. So I've just like figured that, like, well, maybe Play is already on it, and that's why I don't see any articles recently about installing the Play Store on it. Maybe it's just on there now.
I think people just have given up.
Maybe. That's how they get you.
Because people, it's a no-brainer. $100 tablet with like a year or two, no questions asked, replacement guarantee for the kids version, but it's still the same tablet. Like, you take off the rubber case, but it's crazy.
I guess you could like replace YouTube Kids with a combination of Netflix with the kids profile, maybe
Amazon Prime videos. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like Minecraft, or like, you know, one game. Mm-hmm. Like with James, like he could probably, I don't know, he probably couldn't manage because he watches a lot of YouTube Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Although now he's started to, he has the Google app on his iPad. So he like asks Google for like werewolf videos and stuff, so that loads up legit YouTube in the app.
Oh right.
And then he starts related videos, so he gets into the weeds on that thing.
Yeah, he's watching the Howling clips. That's what you asked for.
So he's getting pretty smart about that stuff, at least.
I tried for a while, like this It's like in the Amazon store, it's like a NetTube for YouTube player Bobo thing, but it's not.
You know, that's filled with probably such spam, and
yeah,
it gets your email address and date of birth, all that stuff.
And every time I think I take it off their device, but they somehow find it again.
It's probably it's probably clawed into the root access of that device, that app.
Yeah, yeah, because you had to ask that, to give that app permission when you installed it, and I was so charged up, like, ready to make a change and
give it
get these kids
access
out of my face. But they, I mean, they've been getting by. They've been out of summer camp last week and this week, and they've been doing okay with it. They've they found the Bobo cheap, crappy Android kid games that they can play, and they've been getting out of space messages all day long. But I think they just rebooted to clear some RAM. It's awful.
Yeah, my cousin, my nephew has one of those, like, I don't know, $30 Android tablets. Mm-hmm. So like when they had a sleepover, James would want to play Minecraft. So for them to be in the same world, they have to have the most recent version of the app or the same version of the app. And then like when I tried to update his tablet, I got like home crashed. And I was like, how does home even crash on a tablet on Android? So I had to like reboot it. And then I had to like go to the Play Store, and there was like 300 apps that needed updates. And they started queuing up, and I was like, you guys are going to have to wait. This could be a while. It was a scene. Those Android tablet, those like, you get those at the, you know, the movie theater where you pay 25 cents to get the crane, and you're like craning out an Android tablet
for
25 cents. You get a whole mess of stuff with those things.
And people who don't know any better, like my wife or anybody else, but, you know, my wife should know better, but she doesn't. They just think it's like, oh, well, isn't this great? It was only $30. Meanwhile, it's the crappiest piece of crap. Like every time I'm like, you get what you pay for. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Just because it has an electronic screen and it turns on doesn't mean it's the same experience.
I mean, I think I looked on Swappa for like iPad mini prices for like the second gen.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might even been, I think, maybe third gen, because second gen was the first Retina one. Actually, I think you can get a second gen, first gen, like the first Retina one for like $130.
Really?
Yeah, on Swappa.
That's not bad.
Because James has so it's not Retina, and it's like switching apps is just like takes forever. Loading Spotify takes forever.
Yeah, we've been considering it because the kids have been using it the past 2 weeks so much. We're just like, you know what? Like, they got these Fire tablets for Christmas, and we're ready to get them just iPad minis with a case.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but my stepmom got it for them. I'm like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Carla season with these new tablets.
Tell her they blew up or something.
Yeah.
They started sparking, or they threw them into the pool.
Like, I just need simplicity of my life.
You know what you should do? You should prop them up in front of a door that you know she's going to come through. And they, like, just smash the screens and they're destroyed.
Right. Line them up in the driveway so she runs over them. What'd you do?
How do they get under my tires?
Yeah. These kids, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
You think we should wrap it up? 10 o'clock. Hour episode.
10 o'clock, and what, Jonesy's not ready yet?
He texted that he was just leaving like 20 minutes ago, I think.
Yeah. Flap away, my boys, he says.
He's probably in bed. 9:16, he said he was leaving.
He's probably leaving work and going to Kung Fu at 9:16.
God
bless.
That's
live on the podcast. Let's live check in.
God bless.
New world order. So while we wait for Jonesy to get back live to this podcast, what happened between The Miz and Daniel Bryan?
Wow.
Is Daniel Bryan catching heat for some reason?
Oh, they SmackDown, they do kind of like a Talking Dead after SmackDown now on the network.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Talking Smack, amazingly enough. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Bryan's the quote-unquote GM of SmackDown. So he, like, quote, makes all the rules, even though he has no say about whatever. So he goes in that show, and he talks for real. And in wrestling, they call that a shoot. Like, he shoots, meaning he's not, like, the character, and he talks legit. And people, like, were really interested in the show because he doesn't pull any punches, and he says when things are lame. And he, like, calls people out. So the backstory on Daniel Bryan is he had, like, one concussion too many. So he's, like, not allowed by the WWE to wrestle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just under contract and not doing anything. So when you're, like, under when you're injured in WWE and not doing anything, you could just be like for life stuck with WWE getting paid, but that means he couldn't wrestle anywhere else. So like on Talking Smack, he was calling Miz out and saying that he wrestles like a coward because he doesn't do the kind of things that Daniel Bryan did when he was a wrestler, which obviously worked against Daniel Bryan because he had so many concussions.
Right.
So, which is kind of like a true statement for The Miz because he wrestles really safe, but that's not like a negative. It's just an opinion.
Just his way of wrestling.
Yeah. He's been wrestling for like 10-15 years or something like that. And he's never really gotten hurt. So props to The Miz. So Miz started going off and saying how, you know, I wrestle like a coward, but me wrestling the way I wrestle allows me to still be wrestling today. And where did that get you? And
DB.
It blurred the lines of quote unquote shoot versus a work meaning right. planned, that it was like so wildly entertaining. Like you couldn't tell if this was a planned argument. Like Miz went over the top angry, but what he was saying was like legit. And like it sounded like his real feelings, that he was so annoyed with people calling him elite, like a safe wrestler his entire career. And this was the point where he could go off, but make it sound fake. And the internet kind of ran with it because the pictures of Daniel Bryan just like sitting there taking it from The Miz were so priceless.
So they were face to face as they were. They were face to face as they were talking about this.
Yeah, they were face to face. Like he was yelling into Daniel Bryan's face.
Wow.
And then at one point, Daniel Bryan even blurted out, like, I'd wrestle, but they won't let me wrestle. And I was like, well, okay. Like, that's what people assumed. Oh. But he's never, like, said that
right.
out loud.
Probably couldn't say that or whatever.
So I was like, whoa, I wonder if he really meant to say that. So then Daniel Bryan just walked off. And, like, he didn't. Mm. He walked off. So I'm sure there was an element of some kind of, you know, acting involved. But it was so, like, most people don't like The Miz, and, like, everyone loved The Miz after this. That's how crazy it was.
Wow, that's good. I mean, but Daniel Bryan's going to have to go back with Shane McMahon at the meeting. And
yeah, their GM, CEO meeting, SmackDown meeting that they have.
The Kaizen.
But there's also another subtext where people now think that since Daniel Bryan now has an on-screen role, that means his contract is now ticking down. So now, potentially, his contract will now have an end date where he'll be free to leave the WWE and do whatever he wants. But the way
brought on screen could mean that, like, he'll be exiting on via an on screen storyline or something.
He wasn't on screen before. So people assumed that the contract was just kind of frozen and he was just getting paid, you know, whatever, like $200,000, $300,000 a year for doing nothing. But now that he's on screen, people think the contract has been unfrozen and now like he's clocking in and out. So there's now presumably an end date to that contract since he's doing work. And, you know, most people think he shouldn't ever wrestle again because he told people like on camera, like, yeah, I'd have seizures and I wouldn't know what they were for, and people were like, dude, you should not wrestle ever again. But he would probably wrestle for free if it meant that he wouldn't be stuck in WWE.
Right.
So, I mean, he could have another concussion and die.
So, right, but he would still wrestle, though, to take that chance. So we'll probably see him next time we go to the local wrestling joint. No air conditioning.
But also, well, I don't know if I want to tell you the end of SummerSlam. I was going to talk about Finn Balor.
I saw some post-show pictures today. I mean, my God.
Stinks.
Our guys are getting eaten up in that ring.
They are. I feel so bad for him.
And I got to see the match. I don't know how it happens, but, it's awful. And you say he could need surgery.
Mm-hmm. He just had
it. So he had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And also during the Sasha Banks Charlotte match.
Oh, God.
I mean, Sasha Banks,
she's going to
landed on her neck.
She landed on her neck like three times.
Yeah, it was brutal. And then they tried to play it off, but obviously, the first time when she got dropped in the corner there, I was like, this does not look good.
And then they did a move from the top rope where, like, both of them could have easily become paralyzed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they can't, like, tone it down just a little bit.
I know they want to, like, outdo the men, and most of the time they do, but we don't need to do any kind of suicidal paralysis moves.
All right, let's start a wrestling podcast.